This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
You're on The Burt Show.
Dear Prudence is an advice column. It's not like a Dear Abby or Dear A-lister. This must be one that's syndicated, but just not as popular as the others. This Prudence one's Dear Prudence.
Funny name.
I did something recently that concerns me on many levels. I'm under a large amount of stress because I'm in an unhappy marriage, which we're trying to work out, and because my company laid me off. I'm under treatment for depression. A week ago, my doctor doubled the dosage of my antidepressant, and because I'm not sleeping well, he prescribed Ambien. On Saturday morning, I confused the vials and took 2 Ambien. I told my wife what happened and that I would probably sleep all day and went to bed. At around 10 o'clock, my wife commented on how productive I had been, mowing the lawn, cleaning up, grocery shopping. I remembered none of this and said so. We've talked about Ambien a whole bunch on this show, and we get calls all the time from people on Ambien. Same situation.
So he did all that, and he didn't remember going to the grocery store.
Slept right through it. This part of it, I can actually believe. We've talked to people that were driving. Yeah. Remember, they went to McDonald's.
Yep.
They woke up the next morning, and they're like hamburger wrappers around them. They didn't realize it on Ambien. They drove to McDonald's, ordered a hamburger in the drive-thru, drove home, ate it, and then went back to sleep.
He started the lawnmower, mowed the lawn, didn't remember it.
Did the whole thing.
Right.
I remembered none of this, and I said so. She said her only concern was that I left for errands and returned 2 hours later with nothing in hand. I talked to my doctor on Monday, and he told me Ambien can cause amnesia and that some people have reported walking, driving, and cooking in their sleep, all which, by the way, are calls that we have taken before. This is going to be a first, though. I know now what filled the missing 2 hours. This afternoon, I got a call from a woman who called me lover and asked me when I wanted to come back. She called me her F-buddy. This is a woman I had talked to only twice before in social situations. I do not even know where she lives. Uh-huh. Maybe I phoned her for directions. I do find her attractive, but I am stunned that I did something like this. My wife is vindictive, and if I say anything to her, it will end our marriage. I do not want to continue a relationship with the other woman. What should I do?
He doesn't know where she lives, but somehow he showed up at her house and had sex with her for 2 hours and then came home.
That's what he says.
He doesn't remember.
He says, the part that really starts to get a little screwy here is, this is a woman I've talked to only twice before in social situations. But if that's the case, then what's he doing with her phone number?
Now, cool part about that is? How'd that conversation go?
When he
picked her up and called her and told her what he wanted to do, if they've only talked twice.
Well, she went for it.
Now, before we start analyzing this and people call up, the only facts that we know are the facts that Bert is reading, and we can't debate those. So don't call up and go, he clearly knew her more than that. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that he's only talked to her twice in social situations. No, he didn't. He's gotten that happened once before. No, it didn't. All we know is that he's talked to her twice in social situations.
So what Jeff is saying is what we're assuming here
is fact.
You're playing Dear Prudence, 404-741-Q100. You are now Miss Prudence, and you are giving advice to this guy with just the facts that he has provided us.
Because if you can believe he did go to the grocery store, maybe he ran into her at the grocery store.
Perfect.
It's all possible.
Yeah.
Here's what we do know is fact, that the wife knows that he went running and he
mowed the lawn.
Mowed the lawn and went grocery shopping and all that. So if
he had to have known her, they're dating.
Miss Prudence, Melissa Carter, what do you do?
Oh, God.
And I'm saying that to you, too, as I'm saying it to the callers.
I don't talk like that.
They're dating.
How does he have the phone number?
That's the question.
What do I tell him, God? I don't know. Screwed.
He already has been.
Because I'm trying to think if he should tell his wife.
No way.
But she's going to tell him. That other woman will tell. eventually.
Well, I don't know. This is very difficult because I don't believe him.
Facts are the facts.
Do you think because he put in parentheses, I am really attracted to her? That's just a guy boosh comment.
I do find her attractive.
I do think she's hot.
But that's
but
what
I'm stunned. Little light is on the latest.
It's bougie.
It's very boosh. Oh God, I don't know what to tell him. I guess the first thing I would tell him is to go. Did he say in the letter that he has talked to his doctor since then about all that?
He's got to get a doctor's note excusing him.
No. I mean, if he really was able to do all those things and carry on a decent conversation with her and have sex with her for 2 hours, then I would go to I would tell him to go to his doctor and talk to his doctor about it.
Because he got to get tested. Who knows where he put that junk?
Hey, Laura, good morning. You're on
Q100. Hi, how are you?
Go ahead. You're Dear Prudence.
Okay, from what I've heard is that Ambien is called, like, the truth medicine. Just like when you're coming out of anesthesia, whatever's been on the back of your mind for a long time, whether it's conscious, subconscious, or whatever, can cause you to do certain things that you wouldn't think you would do while on that medication.
So what
they interviewed after the Heath Ledger thing, Jack Nicholson had told him that he had gotten in his car and had found himself driving somewhere where he didn't even know where he was just because he was on the medicine and he had no clue how he got there, even getting in his car or anything.
So what advice are you giving our horny sleepwalker?
It was just honestly, he just, one, it is weird that he has her number, but two, honestly, it could be just he really messed up and didn't really realize what was going on.
Does he tell his wife?
Should he tell his wife? It would have to be, like, I think within a situation, like, with a therapist, not just, like, straight to her.
So I can't think of any wife at all that would ever buy that.
No way. No way.
Here's what Dear Prudence says. It's a pretty funny first line. Hard to believe that the pharmaceutical industry has already solved two of our most vexing problems. How to get men to do weekend chores and how to induce attractive strangers to have sex with you while being able to swear that you haven't cheated. If this gets around, soon we'll be living in a world where people are gobbling Ambien out of Pez containers. Driving, eating, and even trying to cast congressional votes while under the influence of Ambien are all well documented. Scroll around the internet, you'll also find individual accounts of Ambien-fueled sex, which we've talked about a lot on the show, where women or guys have zero idea how freaky they're getting at night, and in the morning, their partners are a little embarrassed, like, what happened a little bit ago, and they have no recollection of all of what happened. However, you might, however good you may have been in bed, you need to keep the other woman from contacting you and asking for further services. Call her and try to explain. Tell her that, as hard as it is to believe, you have recently been prescribed several medications. You accidentally mix them up, and as a result, you have no memory of the events of the weekend. Say you're really sorry if you behaved irresponsibly, but that you can't be in touch with her ever again. Don't ask for details. You want to preserve your amnesiac deniability. And since you don't know what you did, you're hardly in a position to confess anything to your wife. Do not tell her.
But she forgot. He's got to get tested for STDs.
Mm-hmm. Morning. Charles wants to be on the voice disguiser.
Just because
hey,
he's asleep doesn't mean his crabs are.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're on the voice disguiser.
I was just calling to say I've had a very similar situation. I used to take Ambien, and I would get up in the middle of the night and cook. I would drive all over town, and had one situation where an acquaintance came up to me several days late after this evidently happened and talked to me about, gee, we had a great time, and evidently we didn't have sex, but we evidently made out for quite a while.
Ooh.
And I had no clue.
Really?
No recollection whatsoever of it.
I would almost think that somewhere in the back of your mind, even though you're sleeping, you know the act that you're doing is so bad that it would somehow shake you up and you know, and wake you.
Why?
Like,
is it
just driving to the McDonald's, like, wouldn't signal to me like some kind of inner alarm. But when you're making out with somebody or you're having sex,
like driving.
But why isn't it so bad? Like, you're getting in the car, you could kill yourself or others.
Yeah, I guess it would be. It would fall under the same thing.
Yeah.
I was totally clueless. I still, to this day, have no recollection of it whatsoever.
Really? Wow. Really? Here's Leonard. Good morning, Leonard. You're on Q100.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, how are you?
Pretty good. I heard your story about the sleep, and I was just going to call you and tell y'all that, because I'm a registered sleep tech, and people have slept long. They've slept, you know, done things. Also, people have actually slept and killed other people.
Oh, that's comforting.
Oh. Well, it's, what happened is if somebody's sleepwalking and you try to wake them up, they get really violent.
Oh.
So you try not to do that.
So you're saying it is possible. This guy takes his Ambien, drives down the street, calls somebody, has sex with somebody, and really has no recollection of it at all.
Yeah, I've even had people, when they take Ambien at the lab, I mean, it's possible. I mean, it's not likely, but it's possible because I've had them think that I'm their wife or talk to me like, you know, they say their spouse's name to me, and I'm like, you know, that's not me. But yeah, people are really out of it on, you know, certain medications.
Instead of what advice would you give? Mm-hmm. What about what would your answer be if you were the wife?
Oh.
Or like say it were Stacy.
I can't say it on the air.
Wow. Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? What would you want to know or not? If she really was in an ambient sleepwalk and she had no recollection of it, she cut it off. She, you know, made sure to tell that person that can never ever happen again. I was on an ambient binge. I don't have any memory of it. Don't ever call me again. Whatever. Do you want to know that happened?
I do not. Do you?
I don't know how to answer it.
Don't ask me a question you won't answer.
That's a great question, Jen.
What would you say? Would you want to know?
I don't think so. Don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Melissa? You know what? I actually would, because I wouldn't want that other person to have that, you know, like...
That guilt?
I wouldn't want the other woman to have that knowledge or power or something. I wouldn't want her to have something over my head.
Oh, no.
Katie's screaming at the radio like you're full of crap, but it's true. I'd rather know than not know if something like that happened.
I don't want to know.
I guess what I don't know won't kill me, so no. But yes.
Yeah.
But no. I don't know. Kind of.
Because I don't trust other people, too. I mean, I don't trust that other person.
If I told Stacy that happened on Ambien, she'd take two the night after just so she had an excuse to kill me.
Sorry, Ambien.
That's awesome.
You're on The Burt Show.
Previously on The Burt Show.
My daughter has been asking for a dog since she was two, so we decided to use a rescue group. We had a home interview. They interviewed my six-year-old children, my husband. They called references. They called our vet. In the contract, part of the agreement said we would take the dog to training. This is a four-year-old dog that is the best trained dog I've ever met. The contract, we signed it. I had forgotten about the 90-day clause. After 3 months of not hearing anything from this woman, we get an email saying, we need your paperwork for the class. We weren't able to take this class because of a conflict in our schedule, and we're signing up for the next class. And I immediately got an email back saying we needed to turn the dog over to her. Plus a $500 fee that we agreed
what?
To should they take control of the dog back.
Melissa was outraged.
What?
As indicated by that. So fill in the blanks for me here real quick, guys, before we get her back on. Did the rescue agency come to the house, or just based on the fact that they didn't take the dog to the obedience class and that 90 days was fact enough for them, we're pulling the dog?
Sent an email and said, send me the paperwork for your obedience class.
That was required to take place in 90 days.
Right. So they adopt the dog 3 months ago. They say, hey, within the next 90 days, you have to take an obedience class. Then so fast forward 3 months, the shelter or rescue group owner sends an email to the new dog's adoptive new parents and says, okay, send me the paperwork for the obedience class. And the parents say, you know what, we were traveling all last month. The dog's perfectly well behaved. We've signed up for a class in 2 weeks.
It's a four-year-old dog.
Yeah, so okay. So we don't worry about, we're going to take the obedience class in a couple weeks. And mom goes, nope, that wasn't the agreement. I'm coming to take the dog, and you owe me $500.
Whoa.
Because there's like a fine or something, like to re-license the dog, whatever you redo to a dog.
So going into the weekend, the agency was...
And coming to take the dog.
Mm-hmm.
What did the last email from the woman say? It will be either when I die or the dog dies that I see that I get this dog back?
I will be a part of the dog's life.
I will be a part of the dog's life until I die or the dog dies, according to the that particular rescue group's director.
Well, that part, just that last line to me, makes sense. I mean, if you're part of the agency, you want to make sure and just check in from time to time that the dog's still doing well. It doesn't matter if it's a month or a year. Then
right,
at least just check in just to see that the dog is still doing well.
I understand that, but I feel like if you adopt an animal, it
becomes
your child,
sure,
and it's your dog. So I sometimes do think certain agencies need to let go.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if they go through that, if you're going through, because, I mean, we've talked back and forth about rescue groups, and we've gotten emails from rescue groups that do great jobs. We've got rescue groups from people who complain and say that, you know, just like our caller, that are, you know, little, I don't know, questionable. But I think that the rescue group, the purpose is to go through all that so that they put the dog in the right place. Well, once they feel like they've done that, there's a part of me that feels like, well, it's done.
And
it's a done deal.
This is sort of a dangerous conversation, too, because I don't want to label every one of these agencies.
No,
like this.
We've gotten emails from rescue groups that have been fantastic and rescue groups that haven't been so. It's like anything, some good, some bad.
Have we said the name of this particular agency?
No.
We haven't yet because we were going to give them a chance to respond, but you saw the emails from Tracy yesterday. I don't know if that's going to happen.
And they don't want to come on.
They don't want to come on, but I'm inclined to think that we do identify it so that people know.
Yeah, I don't want everybody to think that all of them.
Yeah, because like Melissa has mentioned a rescue group that she's had a fairly good experience
with.
And this
is not the same.
Yeah,
this is not the same group.
It's a different rescue group, and I don't think it's – we have an employee at the radio station who's very involved in rescue groups. I don't think it's fair to all the rescue groups who are doing good work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But we can talk about that after we talk to Lisa.
Yeah.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great.
Okay, so I'm curious, after these guys talked to you on Friday – did the agency hop on the phone and did they hear about it or did you have to call them or was it procedure, standard procedure where they just knocked on the door and took the dog?
We did get to keep the dog is the good news.
Okay. Oh, good.
And
good.
What happened was Thursday night we went to bed under the understanding that the person we were dealing with, the director, that her lawyer had advised her to come get the dog ASAP. So that's why we were... Thursday evening was pretty rough for our family. So the next morning, I talked to you guys, and then we had agreed that my husband would contact her because he had spoke with her earlier in the day. And initially she told him, I'm coming to get the dog on Saturday. And that's when I kind of freaked out being a mom and had emailed family and friends saying, please contact this lady and tell her that, you know, we're a good family and we're good for the dog. Well,
let me stop you there for just 1 second here, because from time to time we'll get a situation like this and then we'll be bombarded by emails from people in the same situation. How many friends and family sent emails to this rescue agency for you?
That I know of, probably 4 or 5.
Okay.
And the initial one came from my father, who's a minister, that said, you know, this is my daughter's dog and... you know, went on, and she sent him an extremely nasty email back saying that we broke the contract. Everything kept coming back to the contract. In 3 months, she never contacted us to see if the dog was doing okay or anything. All we got was the email saying, you broke the contract, we want the dog back. And so, anyway, throughout the day, she kept saying she was taking the dog back. She was taking the dog back. And so we hadn't had any conversation with her. That evening, she tried calling my husband. And when my husband came home, he said, look, we need to just get the dog out of the house because this lady, you know, I don't know what her deal is, but she wants this dog back.
So you had to take the dog to a safe house.
We didn't do that because we don't want to upset the kids any more than we had. But anyway, Thursday evening, we went to bed thinking she was coming to get the dog and had emails saying her contract held up in court, that we were completely wrong, we broke our contract, whatever. And so the next morning, my husband said, let me handle this, because he knew how upset I was. And so he sent her an email that specifically went through each portion of the contract. and said, you know, this is how we're handling this. This is what we're doing here. This is what we're doing. And when I talked to you at 10 o'clock Thursday morning, you initially said you were coming to get the dog, and then you had changed your mind. And the last we heard, you've changed your mind yet again. We are planning on keeping the dog. This is class we're taking. I will call you at 10 o'clock so we can discuss this further. And that was how he had left it. Well, we got an email back, and all it said was agreed. There was not, and that she did not want to speak to my husband any further.
So it was like one or two lines and just say, we agreed, basically
all
keep the dog.
Was agreed, no need for a phone call.
And that was it.
And that was it. After she had put our family through.
Well, that's so unfortunately, that's good, though. You don't want the long, you know, back and forth to keep going.
No, the bottom line is that you got
to
keep the dog.
Right. You just,
that's the point I made when I talked to Tracy yesterday, is that at this point, we want, you know, I would ask that you don't give their name out, because I don't want to stir up anymore. Because this late, I mean, she was serious.
Well, I don't want her to lose her dog for something we do.
I don't either, but I also, I don't know that we can accommodate that, because, hold on one sec, hold on. Because in the bigger picture here, the truth is, I mean, we've been talking about adoption agencies and rescue agencies now, and there are dozens of them out there that are fantastic. And I don't want anybody to leave here thinking, well, that's a process I'm not going to go through. Mm-hmm. Based on your experience, and here now for 3 days, we've talked about how awful an experience you have, and I don't feel like that's the case as far as these agencies go. This is a specific.
You're the exception.
So I do feel like it is important to point out which agency this was that you had a hard time with, rather than pin it on the entire industry.
And
but I don't want you to lose your dog either.
I don't change my opinion of this agency. And, you know, once we complete this class, we really are going to try to get some legal advice as to where to go next. And we'd like to sever the relationship just because of the way she treated us. At one point, she put in an email that she didn't care about our family or my children, only the dog. And, I mean, it just doesn't seem like a safe situation. But in the end, she did let us keep the dog, so we are very thankful to her for that.
Well, now, when you're done with this obedience class, are you done? Is there any other obligation contractually that you have with her?
There really isn't a clear time frame in the contract, and that's what we want to get, you know, checked out, because it really wasn't clear. And when she made the comment about, I'm in your life until the dog dies or I die, that just kind of scared us.
That's
and then
creepy.
The agency's name is on the dog chip. And I've spoken with an attorney that said, you know, that's for safety reason. You have a family. That probably isn't good to be linked to an agency like that long term.
So, yeah.
Well, the reason I asked is I just didn't know whether we wait until she's done with these obedience classes so that she definitely does get to keep her dog. But
hey, Nicole, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. I just wanted to say you guys need to give the name out. My husband and I have rescued dogs. We, you know, deal with people like this, and people need to know who's reputable and who's not.
I do feel that there's a responsibility. I really do.
Because I'll be honest with you, there are so many animals in shelters, and this woman is going to be this way because of an obedience class. Get a life, lady.
Well, it does seem like this microscopic, you know, like they're so focused in on all of these details on this one dog, when she's right, that caller's right. There's so many dogs out there that need to be adopted. There's so many animals that need homes. Why they're expending so much energy on this one dog rather than, you know what I mean? Than, you know, spreading out that energy to getting other dogs adopted. It just seems like nobody's taking a step back in this situation. Like, take a step back and breathe and look at the overall situation.
But she came,
you know?
I guess I just want to figure out a way that we can, you know, call out this agency, but also protect her and her family, because she came to us with this information, and now I don't want to do something to...
Well, we're going to continue to talk to you and get updates. So if this particular agency still chooses to kind of mess with you here a little bit or take the dog away, then we'll certainly be on top of that. But don't you guys feel like
now here's
we're doing a tremendous disservice to the entire industry if this is what we are reflecting?
I just don't want her 6-year-old daughter to have a tragic ripped dog away because we... You know,
and just so that we are, you know, all the facts are out there on the table, we invited the woman who runs the shelter, the rescue group in question, on the air with us. And not only did she say that she would not come on the air with us, but she also attempted to forbid us from saying her name or the name of the agency, which you can't really do because, I mean, we're reporting this as a news story.
It's that weird freedom of speech thing.
Yeah. So we did give her the opportunity to come on the air and explain her point of view.
That's good.
So it's
not. I feel like it's more fair.
It's not like we're ambushing her. But
no, what I will say is I think she means well, but she is so far misguided at this point, or at least in what we experienced, to the point that, you know, my husband was scared for our family. He didn't want me to come on the radio station this morning because he's like, we've got the dog. You know, I've talked to this lady. You don't know how crazy she is. She means well, but she's at this point so far, and I don't know if it's because she's seen horrible things or what, but, you know, we just want the dog in our, we want to keep the dog. We're sure. A good family. We love the animal, and we want to be done with this woman because mm-hmm. she, you know, I don't trust her. Mm-hmm. And the other irony is that a few hours, not even hours, after my husband got the email from her, we got an invitation to a get-together reunion of all the dogs.
Are you going?
And no.
Yeah, I don't know.
And, I mean, it was all I could do not to respond and say, are you out of your mind, woman?
Right.
But, you know, I restrained myself.
Yeah, just cut it off at this point.
Hey, Colleen, good morning. You're on Q100.
Yes, I think you should definitely turn in the agency. I think the woman is obviously after the money, and I think if they brought up an attorney, then they would definitely have nothing to do. They would definitely let her keep the dog because I think she has a legal leg to stand on.
It's just this one doesn't even feel – I'm not even conflicted about this one.
Here's what I think. Here's where I think we kind of meet in the middle on it. I think we wrap up with Lisa today, let her go, tell the woman that we are without a doubt going to identify the agency at this time tomorrow, give her one last chance to come on, and then if she doesn't, tomorrow at this time, without Lisa on the phone, because I don't want Lisa to feel like that there's no connection between Lisa and Lisa's dog and this woman, so that way, you know, there's no drama going on there, and we do it tomorrow.
Yeah,
we give her one chance. Like, she can come on and have, how long's Lisa been on the air? That's 10 minutes now. She can explain her point of view. We'll ask her questions. I would love to hear her perspective. I would love to hear why she is so protective. What happened that causes her to be so on top of this and attach the dog and leaving her agency's name on the chip and all that? I would love to have her come on and share her point of view and explain why she does what she does.
Well, we gave her the last 24 hours to do that. But, I mean, if we want to totally be completely sure about it, then sure, let's do it tomorrow. And, again, the reason why I want to do this is I don't want the other agencies, rescue agencies, that are doing great work to be penalized because of this one instance at this one place.
Right.
So if we have to wait one more day just to be 100% in the way we're going to handle it, then let's wait one day. That's fine.
You said penalized.
And Lisa, thanks for sharing your story. I'm glad you got to keep the dog.
Good luck in getting rid of her.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be in touch.
I hope you don't get penalized again.
Listen, it's the Bert Show.
For me, like, financial infidelity like this would be just as bad as sexual infidelity.
Why?
It's just such a breach of trust that if I found out that Stacy had some bank account somewhere that I didn't know about, I would feel as betrayed as if she slept with another dude.
I'm reading that Susie Orman book right now about women and money, and they say that everybody should have their own savings account. Whether you're married or whether you're single, you should have, like, I think if you're married, you're supposed to have each separately 3 months in savings of what you need to live on.
That's no sweat to me at all. So long as we both know about it, this is how we're going to handle our business.
Right.
If we agree or not agree, if that's the way we decide to go as a couple, I'm cool with that.
And they say it should especially be for stay-at-home moms, that they should have a savings account that is just their own. Because sometimes they feel like they're not worthy of asking for that, to have that kind of money, because they're not earning a paycheck for the family. Both partners in the marriage should have separate individual savings accounts.
Well, I think a lot of times that women who are not the providers within the family and they see maybe the ending of their marriage, then will have these accounts, and they're even encouraged by some to have these accounts so that when the marriage is over, they have something to live on instead of being thrown out into society by themselves and have to start from scratch as money earners.
That's exactly the sign that I would interpret it as. If I found that money, it just means that Stacy is ready to leave me, and she's stashing this cash.
She's taking care of herself before she takes off.
Like, I agree with you. If you're going to have separate accounts, fine, as long as we know about it.
Right.
But that kind of financial infidelity to me is just as bad as her sleeping with somebody else. And there are plenty of that are doing it, though. We will call her Alicia, and she is on the voice disguiser right now. Good morning, Alicia.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you got your own little secret stash going on there. How much are we talking about?
A little over 50 grand.
Okay. Whoa.
50 wow. grand.
And why?
Well, I mean, you just never know now these days. I have two little ones, and I have to watch out for my kids.
Would you consider your marriage a strong one?
I do, yes.
So even though things are fine, you don't foresee yourself taking off at all, just in case you got 50 grand.
Exactly. You just never know what will happen in life.
Does that make you feel safer to have that there ready if you need it?
I do, yes.
Your husband must make a bundle of money.
Yeah, how do you skim that much money out of the family budget?
My father had passed away in 06. That was an inheritance.
So he doesn't know about it?
Oh, no.
No
idea. He never
knew
about it.
What would happen if he found out about it? I mean, because this really, it's not money that you've been skimming from him. I mean, the money is yours because it's an inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
But if he knew about it, what would he say?
I think he would be okay about it. He may be a little distraught about it, but he knows that my family is semi-well off, and he knows, but he never asked how much.
If I found that money and Stacey said, look, really, there's nothing, I'm happy in the marriage. Things are fine. It's good.
Mm.
It's really, really, really good. That $50,000 to me would speak louder than her words would. She would have a tough time convincing me she's not getting ready to take off.
Or thinking, even if she's not getting ready to, the fact that she's thinking that the possibility exists. It's along the same lines as a prenup.
But there's like so
some
many
people
stories,
say that they'll
though,
never
of
still cheating.
If women are worried about what the man's going to do in their relationship, and she just wants to make sure that if he takes off, then she's not going to be, you know, it's just insurance.
All right, so what if the situation were reversed? Is it okay for guys to keep a stash?
I mean,
that they keep from their wife in case that she takes off and then tries to file for spousal support and thinks
if they're not the breadwinners and there's children involved in everything, I don't have as much of a problem with it.
What if he is the breadwinner and he's still stashing it?
I would be shocked if he wasn't. I'd be shocked if a breadwinner doesn't have an account that his wife doesn't know about.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
Yeah, if it's somebody that has a lot of money, I wouldn't be surprised.
I guess I'm coming from a different place because I'm literally in the midst of reading this book right now that says, you know, everybody should have their own individual accounts because you should never stay in a relationship or be stuck in a relationship because of money.
But there's nothing wrong with having that account as long as you say, hey, I'm going to have my own savings account.
As long as we all know about it,
yeah.
Right?
I'm going to have my own savings account, and if it's cool with you, I want to take $200 a week and put it in an account, and then I'll have it.
Hey, Jack, good morning. You're on The Voice Disguiser. How much money you got stashed?
I got a little over $120,000.
Okay.
$120,000 that your wife doesn't know about?
It's not my wife. It's my girlfriend.
How long y'all been going out?
Like 3.5 years.
Three and a half years.
And why haven't you told her about it?
I'm just not sure what she'd do with all that money. She's kind of aloof when it comes to spending. She loves to go out to the mall and shop and everything. I told her my salary is a little bit less than it is, so I've just been able to stash a lot away.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys live together?
Yes.
It does feel a little different to me because it's the mm-hmm. girlfriend and not a wife.
She's not entitled to it.
Right, there's no mm-hmm. legal commitment mm-hmm. there yet.
Yeah, I guess I've never been the one who thinks that a couple should dump all their money into one account together when they get married.
That's fine. I think that's a separate issue. So long as we're cool with that and we're on the same page, I'm fine with that. It's the not knowing. It's the cheating part of it. It's the stealing.
Okay.
What if you were both working and she was putting part of her paycheck away and not telling you about it? Would you still feel like it was stealing?
We're both working. She's taking money out of her own paycheck for her own separate account. Mm-hmm. Why not tell me about it?
I'm sure there are some
women. I mean, you just used
the
word stealing, and I was thinking,
if we both have agreed
harsh.
That this money is going into one account and you're taking some from that account and putting it into an account that I don't know about, then that's infidelity. I mean, that to me is cheating. It's stealing.
I don't agree.
You don't see it that way.
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, we're going to see how.
Well, I want to know what your defense of that is.
I don't know. I just think that it's okay. I'm trying to figure out how to verbalize it, but I just don't feel as strongly about it as you do.
Like if you and I, like let's say there's.
Because I've just gone through a different situation than you guys have, so.
I think where the confusion is coming from is let's take marriage out of it. Like if we just have an agreement where everybody in this room brings in $10 every day and puts it in a pot and we use that to buy breakfast, but I'm only putting in $9 and I don't tell anybody, technically I'm stealing from y'all, right?
Technically.
Yeah, but you'd be putting in $10 and then saving your own $10 is how I see it.
Yeah, but it's...
Then you get a better breakfast.
Yeah, but we...
You can't do that. Yeah. We're supposed to be eating off the same plate.
But we've all agreed that $10 a week we're going to put into this thing. And I'm the one who keeps the money. And because I have that privilege, instead of putting in $10, I only put in $8.
Lawrence, you're on The Voice Disguiser. What's that number we're talking about here?
Just under a million.
Just under a million.
Okay.
From your wife?
Well, it's my girlfriend. I don't like the term hiding. Like, I'm not necessarily hiding it from her. It's just, if it comes up, then it comes up. But I don't really understand the reason why I should feel compelled to just come out and say, hey, I hit the lottery for this much. I haven't changed. I'm still the same person. I'm still taking care of the bills and things of that nature. Because I've had conversations like this before my luck came in like that. So I never really understood why it would be such a big deal for me to come out and just say, look, this is what I got. I would almost feel like I'm borderline bragging.
There's got to be some element of distrust here. If you're not telling her you got $1 million, you're hiding it from her for some reason.
No, I mean, I don't see it as me hiding it from her.
That's a pretty big part of your life.
It's come up. Like, it's not like I have it sitting in my pocket. Most of it I put in stocks and bonds and things like for our children when they get ready for college. When that time comes, then, you know, I say, look, well, this is what, you know, we've been putting away and whatnot. But I don't necessarily see why I should just, the day of, I should just come out and just say, well, look, this is what happened and this is what I have.
You on board with that?
I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I think certain women, as soon as they know your man has this amount of money, there's certain expectations of stuff that you should be getting, gifts, what you can buy, what you've been buying. I mean, then you start questioning everything he's given to you.
Well, then maybe you shouldn't be with that kind of woman.
Well, I mean, you don't know that until you tell him you've got all this money.
But you got to tell him eventually.
No, you don't.
Just hide it for your whole life. So if they get engaged, married, just continue to hide it.
So are you guys like, let's say you know how everybody has a savings account. Are you saying that each partner should have the balance of every account that every...
The agreements are inconsequential, how it works is inconsequential. So long as we know about it, to me, is the bottom line.
So you know
how it's divided up, inconsequential.
So you wouldn't be offended if Stacey came to you and said, Bert, I really think that I need a just-in-case savings account.
I would be offended by that, but we'd work through it, and at least she was honest with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Look, I know Jessica has a
bank.
That's
why it's hidden, though. It's because you'd be offended and it'd be a big argument and all
but
that.
Yeah, but it's something you can...
I'd rather deal with the uncomfortableness of that. I mean, that's what marriage is all about. Okay, we don't see eye to eye on it and I'm offended by it, but I still love you at the end of the day. That's way better than me not knowing and you hiding and cheating and... Yeah.
But it's also like you have that... If you go into the marriage having that, like Jessica and I always had a kind of our accounts separate or whatever, so I know she still has a checking account or savings account. That I don't know what the balance is, but like I know she has it. It exists.
As long as you know, yeah.
You know what I mean? And like it was just never anything we discussed or analyzed. I just knew it was there, and I think that's fair.
Here's what's going on in Long Island right now, and I'll read right from the AP. Long Island dentist is suing Chase Bank to recover the more than $150,000 she said she had to share with her hubby after a bank employee let it slip that she had a huge account balance he didn't know about. So in that first paragraph, you're thinking it's $150,000, right? No. Nazita Armapour, 43 years old, and her husband David have a joint account at a Chase branch in Queens, along with a custodial one for their three children. But the wife also had a secret stash of $800,000.
Wow. Wow.
At the branch in her name only. $800,000. Bank employee, trying to be helpful, spilled the beans to the husband by cold calling him and telling him he should take his small fortune out of the low interest account and make other investments with Chase.
Mm.
No. So then he found out about it. So the husband now says that the wife alienated him. So she forked over $155,000 to save her marriage and restore order in the marital home. She wants that $155,000 back from the bank because they were the ones.
I totally agree you should say.
That spilled the beans.
Absolutely.
Yes. You agree?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. That's wrong.
Well, they're not going to be able to get it out of the employee because I'm sure he doesn't work there anymore.
Yes. But you know what? That's a lesson for you. If you are being sneaky, whether we agree with it or don't, or see eye to eye, you're foolish if you're doing it at the same exact bank where your family transactions happen.
Well, probably smart.
If you guys say that as long as you know the account exists, then maybe ladies just say, I got a savings account, but just never tell them how much you got in it.
So long as we know about it, I mean, we can get through the weirdness of like you wanting to have a savings account. So long as we're both cool, we're honest with each other about it, then I'm all right with it, I think.
Yeah, I don't understand with the weirdness why it would be weird for anybody to have a savings account. But anyway,
as long as we know about it, it's cool.
This is The Bird Show.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS, the list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
So what brings you to our fair city?
Victor Creed.
And who's that? Man, I'm going to kill.
I feel like that kind of thing, Hugh Jackman.
That testosterone-y kind of manly thing.
Yeah, if he's your kind of guy.
Let's get straight to the point, right?
What's that? Yeah. You know, if you like the chiseled features, cut 4% body fat, talented in every area, cool accents, great relationship with his wife, you know, multimillionaire thing. If that's your thing, then let me go ahead and introduce you to Hugh Jackman. Good morning, Hugh Jackman.
Good
morning.
Good
morning. Morning, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you today?
I'm good, man. Very, very good. Beautiful day here in New York. Happy days.
In that, because I did do some research on you yesterday, and it does just appear to be that you're good at everything. I mean, you're on stage, you're singing, you're in movies, you're doing the whole, you do TV at Broadway, you're hosting Academy Award shows. Outside of that, you're kayaking and swimming and yoga every day. I am curious, what frustrates you? Like, what do you suck at?
What are you not good at?
DIY. Do you call it DIY here? Do it yourself, you know, like handyman stuff?
Like if you had to fix a cabinet in your house?
Oh, pathetic. The only thing handy about me, my wife says, is that I'm close by. That's about it.
Really? So if the light bulb needs changing or something like that, then you are not the guy to do it.
Shock. You know, I actually worked in a gas station for 3 years, and about once every 3 days, it was a self-serve gas station, someone would come in and say, look, I'm really embarrassed. I'm so sorry, but I don't know where the oil is. I don't know where to put the oil in my car. Right, and I had absolutely no idea. And I was like, well, I'm really sorry. I could help you, but for security reasons, I can't leave the console area. So, just have to ask one of the other customers. So, of course, no problem. I'm pathetic.
Don't you get worried that because you have to call repairmen, you know, to come over to your house, your wife might leave you for one of those repair guys?
That's so why I'm now an unemployed actor staying at home.
So I am curious, though, like Bert had said, I mean, you're successful on Broadway, you're successful in movies like epic movies like Australia, and then you play Wolverine. How did you get to the point where you weren't typecast like so many actors are in any of those genres?
You know, it's a good question. I suppose the thing I've always loved is doing different things. And pretty early on, and trust me, not all of them worked, but I tried to do different things. And I try to surprise people, you know, with the things I do. And for me, I mean, I find doing the same thing, I get a little stale. So that's just sort of the way it works for me, you know. Mm-hmm.
Is playing Wolverine professionally fulfilling for you?
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, there's no way I wouldn't do it otherwise. I mean, I'm in one of those really lucky situations where I get to choose the things that really turn me on, you know, so that I really want to do. Wolverine is, I'd never read the comic book before, but just as a character, you read it on the page, you go, man, this is Mad Max. This is Dirty Harry. This is Han Solo. This is a great character. So. Mm-hmm.
Hugh, I'm curious. When you first learned that you've been named Sexiest Man Alive, what is your initial thought?
It was relief. you know. I mean, I've been working at that for so long. Trash talking Clooney and Pitt, all these guys for years. It's lonely, you know. I laughed, and then I thought, uh-oh, I'm going to get so much crap from my friends in Australia. Which, can I tell you, I did.
No doubt.
Several
did you?
Of them sent me photos of me as a teenager. Very uncompromising photos. very unsexy photos. Give me $1,000 or I'm sending this straight to People magazine, that kind of thing, you know.
You seem to have such this great attitude about everything that you're involved in. Do you sometimes feel that Hollywood takes itself too seriously?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. At the end of the day, we're dressing up and pretending to be someone else. You know what I mean? It's a great job. I love it. And, you know, I've sort of dedicated my life to it, but it's fun. I mean, I'm a big believer that life's meant to be fun. And if you're going too long where it's not fun, then you're probably heading down the wrong track.
Hugh Jackman on The Burt Show this morning.
Hugh, I have to tell you a personal story, and thank you, because on my very first trip to Los Angeles, you were my very first celebrity sighting. So
oh, really?
I have to.
Where were we?
It was at
at the Home Depot.
It was at the W Hotel, and you were outside having lunch with looked like a business person and having a business lunch, and my friend and I spotted you. So you provided me that very first celebrity sighting experience, which was really exciting to me. And I wanted to know, who was yours?
That's a good question. Very first. I have to tell you, I'm not sure if this is the first. The first thing that came to mind was working with John Travolta.
Oh, yeah.
Who I grew up, I think I saw Grease 50 times. I was probably 8, 9 years old at the time. And when I was working with him, I remember I got a phone call from the producer saying, John wants to rehearse before we shoot, first day of rehearsal. So we went into the set. My heart was pounding. And when John Travolta walked in, I was like, there's no way in hell I can act with this guy. I'm just gonna, like, scaring, you know. So I was so glad we did a rehearsal, because otherwise I would have been really, really bad on film. That's sort of one of the biggest impressions I have in my mind.
Wow.
And apart from that, I was a sport guy, right? So I used to go and hang around. I was one of those kids that hung around for autographs.
Mm-hmm.
I had books and books of autographs of all my favorite sports people, but you wouldn't know any of them.
So I imagine then, having that experience, you're probably very accessible as far as getting an autograph goes?
Yeah, so I grew up playing cricket, right? I don't know if you've heard of cricket. It's a game we play in Australia, and I was so into cricket. And there's one player called Don Bradman. He's like the Wayne Gretzky of cricket. He is so far above anyone else. And my dad went to an event. Don Bradman famously never signs autographs, right? So he went to the event, and when I stayed up all night waiting for him to come home, and Don Bradman was at this event. I said, Dad, did you get an autograph? Please tell me you got an autograph. And he said, oh, Hugh, it really wasn't appropriate. There were a lot of people. And I was so mad with him. I kind of never let go of it. And if anyone wants an autograph from me, all you got to do is, by the way, just come up and say, listen, my son. I go, no problem. You got it.
You know, you're going to get 12-year-olds coming up to you going,
yeah,
hey, Mr. Jackman, my son wants you to sign this for me.
No, I'm good. I quite like meeting the fans because, you know, I was brought up in the theater. That's sort of where I started. And the film thing, you can get dislocated and away from your fans. You know, so I turn up. I went to the midnight screening of Wolverine the other night because I like to sit in there and kind of be part of it and feel that energy, you know?
Did anybody realize it was you in the theater?
Gotta wrap it up.
Oh. Yeah, they did.
They did.
It kind of went a little crazy for a while. In fact, at one point I thought I was going to have to leave because there were about 50 people around me and the movie had already started, you know, trying to get an autograph. And I was like,
unreal.
Oh. That's awesome.
Hey, I want to watch the movie. No.
Why don't you just shoot those claw things?
It was pretty nutty. It was great.
Well, Hugh, we know you got a million of these to do today. So thank you for taking the time to join us. And we'll tell everybody for sure, go out and see Wolverine again this weekend.
It's great to be on the Burt Show. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye. What a great guy, huh?
He's awesome.
How cool is he?
And
Melissa Carter.
I mean,
Melissa Carter got
Jen always
trophy.
Gets a good question with every celebrity, so she couldn't just let me live in the spotlight with my, you know, geekiness and Wolverine, but whatever. I did get a good question. My first good question.
You got a good question. I was excited for you.
First good question.
I want to wave a card because Jen was so pushing for that with her crap story about, Hugh, I'd like to kiss your ass and tell you that I went to L.A.
And yeah, I remember I saw first celebrity sighting
yes,
ever.
Hugh, let me set this up. What I'd really like to do, if I could just place my nose against your buttocks, it would be really, really wonderful if I could just suck up
like,
to you.
You wouldn't
totally.
Have told him that?
Hobby, it doesn't matter how you got it.
It does. You can't be so God.
No.
How can you even hold your head high,
come
woman?
On.
Wait a second. How could you even complain about that?
You can't.
Melissa Carter
he's my
got
first experience ever with like a celebrity sighting. I had to tell him that story.
I heard you climb into his pants and tell him.
Melissa, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Your first
thank you.
For a perfectly natural good question.
Thank you.
And there was nothing wrong with yours either.
How was mine not perfectly natural?
Hi, Hugh. I understand you're the best-looking man in the world, and I wanted to let you know I agree with that. I was out in L.A., and I was looking at all the celebrities, but you know
whatever.
Who my most favorite
one? Why is he being
one?
Competitive? He didn't get a good question.
He's competitive about
this. Melissa should be competitive about this. Not
well,
Jeff.
Well, mine did come first, so whatever.
This is The Bert Show.